The last time we were together, we talked about the fifth way of building relationships, and that's being open, wise to learn from those around us. When we open ourselves up to learn from those around us, doesn't mean that we throw off all of our limits and that we just open ourselves up to whatever anyone says. We want to make sure that when we listen to people around us, that we take in all the facts and that we are careful, especially for the man. If God has set him up to be the nurturer of the home, he needs to be careful that what he's doing is biblical and that there are clearly understood limits. But to open ourselves up to learn, especially in the area of relationships, that's the main area that we want to learn from those around us, especially our mate. So that's the fifth area. The sixth area is one of the ways that really causes a wife to feel like a woman and actually gives her strength and encourages her as a person. And it helps us as a man to know how to nurture in a specific way. Now, the Scripture says in Ephesians 5:29 that a husband, like Christ loves the church, is to nurture and cherish his wife. So the sixth area is when a man develops the skills of cherishing his wife. Nowhere in the Scripture does it tell a woman to cherish her husband. Now, I think that being careful with him is very important, out of honor. But when we begin to cherish a person, what it actually means is like growing carrots in Texas. It's like covering them from the sun. It's a protection. It's like this tree. It's like the shade is a protection to the grass in the hot sun of the summer. And when you cherish something, you actually cover it to protect or to keep it warm, like a mother hen, in a sense, over her babies, keeping it from the cold or the rain. That's the concept in the Greek for the word cherish. Now, there are some very specific ways that a man can cherish his wife. And in fact, there's at least two specific ways that I know of. And the first one is when a man decides and purposes to gain a general knowledge of women so that he'll know where to cherish a woman. For example, every man here has about a gallon and a half of blood flowing through his body, and every woman has about four-fifths of a gallon of blood. Now, if I were to take a drop of a woman's blood and put it up here on this podium, and a drop of a man's blood and put it up here, every drop, the man has about a million more red blood cells, the energy-producing cells, which is one of the reasons why women at times, now they can strengthen themselves through exercise and so on, but in general, they tend to tire out quicker during the day, and they tend to faint more easily. They are oriented and geared into the area of interpersonal relationships. And even during World War II in England, when they increased the work hours during the day, women were having a difficult time keeping from accidents and just being exhausted during one particular day. Now, that doesn't mean that some women can't outwork their husbands. They work all day and come home at night and do everything else. That doesn't mean that. It's just that we need to be aware of the difference physiologically. Their bones are smaller, and they have weaker bones. They have about 50% less brute strength than we do. About 20-some percent of their body weight is muscle. About 40% of our body weight is muscle. We just need to recognize that the hormones that are flowing through are just totally different than the ones that are flowing through the man, and affect us differently. And, for example, during pregnancy, if a man is not aware of the changes that are taking place and how she can tire out quicker, he can come home and say, "What are you doing around here all day anyway?" And that can really discourage her, and she can even feel like a failure, when we need to be aware of these things. And I can remember the time that I was driving across country, and my challenge orientation, again, you know, to get to the location on time. Norma was pregnant with her first child, and she was so hungry and irritable. And I was irritated by that time, and finally I made it to the motel, and we went out to eat, and we couldn't find a place to eat, and we weren't speaking at all. We got to this restaurant, and she ordered, and I ordered, and we waited forever for this food to come. And she kept saying to me, "Would you please tell the waitress to hurry up?" And that's about all she was saying to me. And the tension was just, you know, mounting by the seconds. And finally, when her food came, she took the sugar, because she was so uptight anyway, she took the sugar, and by accident, she dumped it all over her French fries. And I can remember that I just broke out in laughter and just came unglued. Of course, she came this close to taking the whole plate, you know, and dumping it right on me. And I actually fell right out of the booth and I went out of control. I wasn't even aware of what she was feeling and the turmoil that I was putting her through. Of course, you know what that did to our relationship. Strained it. And see, I thought it was a lot of fun, you know, but it wasn't. She wasn't laughing. And so we just need to be aware of the differences, but especially during pregnancy and during the different changes of life. And that's the kind of knowledge that really God wants us to have. And we need to have that knowledge in order for us to understand where she's coming from. Women are interpersonally related in that area of feeling, and we need to be aware of that. One time we were camping. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was cold. And I can remember Norma saying, "Honey, are you awake?" Of course, I was awake by that time. I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's so cold, honey. I'm afraid for the baby. I think we ought to go home." And I went, "Oh, honey, it's only 4 more hours or so, and the sun will be up, and everything will be okay. Just go back to sleep and relax. Don't worry about anything." See, now I'm able just to separate that kind of thing. But see, children are an extension of a woman. And so she's concerned about the children. And she's the one that has to live with them next day if they get a cold or whatever. And I'm off, you know, doing my thing. And so that's where she is. Well, she finally said, "Honey, it's so cold. I really think we ought to go home." So I got up and I got dressed and we got the thing, got the car home. I had to come back the next day and get the camper. But on the way home, I can remember she put her arm around me. She said, "Honey, you're my John Wayne." And I went, "Oh, oh." You know, I don't feel much like old John Wayne. And now, see, I don't feel a lot of those things at times. As I do them, the more I do them, the easier they become. Because, you see, I really want to follow Scripture. I want to be obedient to God's Word. If the Scripture says that I'm to love Norma like Christ loves the church, and I say, how does Christ love the church? Well, He nurtures and cherishes, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, if it means, if I have to cherish Norma or get to cherish Norma, what does it mean to do that? It means to cover, to protect. It means to be her strength when she needs me. Well, if that's what it means, that's what I want to be. No matter how I'm feeling, that's why many times these things just come right down to obedience to God's Word and accepting the responsibility that God's given me as a husband. And I do it willingly because I'm the one that really benefits at the end. I used to think that when I did these things that I was the loser. When I first started honoring Norma, I said to myself, well, my life is over. You know, she's going to be top in my life. That means she's more important than my work. Not that my work is not important, because this is important. But she just happens to be more important. And she knows that if she needed me today, I would be willing to come home. She knows that I'm willing to do that. And if there's emergency with my children or something, I'm willing to be there if I'm needed. And I know my work's important, like your work's important, but it doesn't have to be more important than our mate. And I remember when I first did this, I knew how I wasn't cherishing her and the way I treated her in relation to my job. I said, well, it's all over. Forget it. You know, I've lived my 30-some years, and now I want her to have a good time for the rest of her life. You know, and it's all over for me. And I really thought that, except that I didn't realize that the Scripture says that when a man is willing to give up his life for Christ's sake, he gains life. Now, I didn't understand what that meant until later, because when I gave up everything for Norma, I didn't give up anything. I gained everything, including a great relationship with my wife. Because the moment she began to see that she was first place in my life, that cherishing of her, she started encouraging me to do the things I used to want to do, but she used to resist. She used to say, "Gary, there's a couple over here that really needs to hear from, for you to counsel them. They're really hurting. Why don't you spend some time over there tonight?" I said, "Hey, Norm, I want to be with you tonight. You know, I'd rather be with you." No. She says, "I just thank you for saying that, but they're so hurting." And I got real confused at first. I thought, you know, what is this? She used to resist me and all this stuff, you know, fishing and hunting and all this stuff. I gave up and she started buying me fishing poles and, you know, and things for me. And I thought, what is going on here? You know what I find all across the country? That when a man starts honoring his wife and cherishing her, she so appreciates that, that she responds by wanting us to be happy. Now, it might be rocky for a while for her just to check it out if it's a real thing, you know, and because they're not easily convinced on this kind of thing. But when they see it's genuine, and our facial expressions and body language and tone of voice communicate that we mean business, they relax. She used to be jealous of everything I did, from my work to my activities. A couple of years ago for my birthday, she bought me scuba diving lessons. You know, she never would have bought me scuba diving lessons a few years ago because she would have known I would have been under the water all the time. And just been one more thing to take me away from my family and my relationship, my interpersonal relationships with her and others. So when we recognize that, then we can just be obedient to God's word and accept the challenge of learning how to cherish. Now, the second area that a man needs to do in cherishing his wife is that he needs to discover the areas of his wife specifically where she needs to be cherished. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is just to ask her. Now, Norma really only has about two or three areas that she really wants to be cherished in. There's not a big, long list of areas that a woman needs to be cherished in. Your particular wife might have one or two that are completely different than Norma's because of the temperament's different and her background and so on. But you see, it's my responsibility to initiate finding out what she needs. Well, I found out over the last 10 years as I've been working on this that Norma really doesn't like to drive in the ice, in the snow and the ice. That's just something she doesn't like to do. When she was in high school, she was in a car accident with one of her friends or several of her friends, and some of them were killed, and she broke her back. They went off this cliff in this convertible, and it really affected Norma and her uneasiness of driving. And so it just increases if it's ice on the road. So I am happy to cherish her in that area. Or at least I'm happy to understand. And many times all she wants is for me to understand. Well, you know, several years now I've lived in Texas, and so I don't have a whole lot of problem with that area. And I'm on my way to Phoenix, Arizona, to headquarters, and I probably never will have a problem with her driving in ice there. So that's an area that's totally gone. But I know that's a problem. You know, Norma's the kind of person, if we're driving down the road, and I sort of get off, I'm just talking, you know, get off in that little cracked area, she'll go, you know, I think this big semi-truck is about to come over us, you know, but see, she's real alert to that. Well, I accept that and receive it, and so do my children, because we all know what her background is in that, in the area of accidents and so on. Plus, a woman is very alert. They can take in all this data, you know, at one time, and so they're seeing a lot. You know what I enjoy watching when I'm in a counseling session? I enjoy watching how the husband and the wife respond so differently. You know what she's doing? She's looking at his eyes like this. She's looking at his facial expression. She looks at me and then him. See? And you know what he's doing? Looking at me. Usually never looks at her. Once in a while he might, you know. But even when he does, he's not picking up as much as she is. Most women are picking up so much more data around than the men are. They're so much more alert than we are in those areas. So I just accept that about Norma. Well, that's one area that, and then, you know, the other area, basic area that she doesn't really enjoy and doesn't appreciate and I love is she doesn't like to return things to department stores that are too small, the wrong color, you know, that kind of thing. If we purchase some, she doesn't like that. Okay, I understand that. That's the only basic area. Well, one other area. Now this has changed basically, but I used to prefer my own relatives anytime I was with them over her. And I always used to make her feel that they were more important to me than she is. And that is straightened out and understandable now, and I finally understood it after about 10 years of her trying to explain it to me. And it makes sense to me now. But the only area really left is returning things to a department store. And I love to do that because I used to work in a department store and used to go down to, when I lived in Southern California, used to go down to Tijuana, and that's where I learned to bargain. You know, you can bargain anything down there, Mexico. And so it's a delight to me. But she doesn't like that. One time, I had purchased 4 gallons of paint to paint 2 bedrooms. We painted the bedrooms and only used 1.5 gallons. Gave them 2 coats. So we had 2 gallons left over, basically unused paint. I knew this department store was great. They take anything back. So I said to her one day, honey, if you're going downtown, would you mind just taking this paint along with you? And I didn't have time. I wanted to get it out of the house. She said, sure. Later on in the day, I saw her. She'd been crying. She had a miserable experience. She went into this store, and she tried to return this paint, and the paint manager said to her, what do you mean, lady? We can't take this paint back. What did you do, paint the closet? She started accusing her of lying. All the things that she hates about that kind of experience happened to her. So she took the paint and left. Just really discouraged her that day. Well, now, when you find that out, you see, they want us to be their strength. They want us to be their John Wayne at those kinds of times. And there aren't that many areas, but you can discover by asking your wife what area that it is that really bothers her in that area. And in fact, we can ask what specific areas, and one of them are the things that frustrates her. And if we know that, then we can do something about it. So I took the paint. I said, honey, I'll be happy to take this paint back. So I took it back to the department store. And I tried to just give it back to the counter, but the paint manager came up and said, you know, what about this paint? And I said, well, my wife tried to bring it back a little while ago. And he said, yeah, that's right. I remember your wife. And he said, we can't return that paint. You can't return it. We're not going to receive it. And I said, well, I just know, you know, it's a store policy that if we don't use it, you'll receive it. He says, no, he got all uptight. And I could tell we were dealing with a fool. You see, you reprove a fool, and he'll hate you, react, resist. And so I knew I was in big trouble, but he worked me all up. And I don't usually get that worked up. And I'm going at it with him. I say, well, I know you mix too much of this paint, you know. And we're only talking about a few dollars. And I'm all worked up. And I'm pastoring in a church in the city anyway, so I'm looking around, seeing if the members of my church are there. And he got me all worked up. And then a scripture came to my mind. A scripture in Proverbs that says that a soft answer turns away wrath. And so here we all worked up. He had the managers over there. And so I just put my head down. And I said, you know, I've been shopping in these department stores for about 10 years. And this is the first time we've ever been offended and really hassled. Everybody's head went down, including the clerk. And he said, oh, no, to think I'm the first one in 10 years that's offended you. He says, I feel terrible. And the manager said, oh, listen, he says, I said, I just know this isn't the store policy, but, oh, yes, it's not the store policy. He grabbed the paint from me, you know, and pulled it out of my hand. I kept on to it. And I said, no, I just want you to know that. I just wanted you to know how my wife was feeling, and I just wanted you to know that. And he says, I said, I'll take the paint. He said, no. He says, we'll take it. I says, no, I'll take it. He said, no, we'll take it. He says, in fact, we'll pay you for all 4 gallons. And I finally kept the paint. You know, I won the little discussion there. And I said, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm returning this paint. I want you to know that you really offended my wife. And I just want you to know it. Now, I know that Norma so appreciates when I stand up for her. Now, that's a minor little thing, maybe. But you know what's interesting? We say, or wives say, it's the little things that matter. Like a kiss on the cheek. Good morning, honey, I love you. You're so special to me. I'm so happy that you're part of my life. It doesn't take but a few seconds to say that. A hug, tender hug, and just saying, you know, I love you so much. Oh, I'm a lucky man to have someone like you. Now, the wife say, that's a little thing. Where did they ever learn it's a little thing? That's not little. In God's economy, that's big. But they think it's little because we think it's little as men. We think something to express our love is to buy them a new home, to send our kids to school. See, we like to do big things. We think that they want this big thing. What she really wants is an interpersonal loving relationship with you. What she really wants is to be noticed. You know, there are husbands that they don't even know if their wife is around, you know, she's missing for a while, you know. But a woman loves to be noticed and appreciated. She wants to be hugged and hearing expressions of how special she is to us. That's what they want. We buy them refrigerators and washing machines and dishwashers and, you know, and all those things because we think that's what they want. And that's really not what it is. Now, they might need those things, you know, or whatever, but that's not the intimate, personal aspect of building a relationship that they really appreciate. And I realize that. Little by little, I'm realizing it. It doesn't cost us that much to be tender and to be loving. But that's what builds the relationship, and that's what cherishes her. And that's an important note. Now, just a special note to wives. Ladies, there are going to be times that you're going to be discouraged in your relationship with your husband and children. There are going to be times that we're going to do things to you that you don't appreciate, and we're not even aware we're doing them. Like I said before, we don't lay in bed at night dreaming up things to offend you. You know, a lot of these things are just a part of our nature. And after we do them, we see we did them afterwards. Now, do you think it would be appropriate for me to go over to one of the ladies here? And let's say she spoke Spanish and had never spoken any English. And I said to her, get up and come over here and help me with some of the refreshments we're going to have. And she said, no speaky. Come on, will you get up and come and help me? I mean it. You want me to get upset with you? Now, what would you think of someone who did something like that? Well, you'd think I was very insensitive and cruel. Do you know that's what a lot of wives do with their husbands? See, we don't speak the same type of relationship language that you speak. And if you climb all over our case because we aren't thinking and acting like you. See, if we forget the anniversary, something that really cherishes you. If we forget your birthday or Christmas or something, because we're all wrapped up in our world. To get all over our case with anger is not honoring us. And it doesn't motivate us. And what we need is a person that understands that we want to learn your language, but we need your help. And we need your patience and your compassion. We need that too. So, but if in the process of trying to build your relationship as husband and wife, and you really get discouraged as a wife, and it even gets to the place where you're depressed, it's very important that you not allow yourself to do what your feelings are telling you to do. Don't go to bed and curl up in the embryo position, you know, and put the covers over you and just lay there and think about all the bad things that are happening to you in your marriage and so on. It's much better for you to recognize what you're feeling, but do not respond according to what you're feeling. Because feelings always follow your thinking and your actions. Feelings are a byproduct of thinking. If you're dwelling on how horrible your husband is and how things are, then you're going to get more and more depressed. It's going to be deeper and deeper. What you need to do, and this is what Norma really, I see her doing this all the time. There's two or three things that Norma really encourages wives to do. Number one, she encourages you to get involved in some exercise, physical exercise, strenuous exercise, a long walk. Or Norma belongs to a little exercise club where she can go over and just really get into that. And if she's being discouraged just by just the changes that are taking place in her body, normal times of depression for a woman, she gets involved in exercising because she knows how she's going to feel later on. That's exactly what the psychologists are telling us today. When a person is depressed, they need strenuous exercise. Because when you build up the body, it automatically begins to build up the other areas too. Now, it's not the main area, but it is a help. Also, write out your feelings. Take a piece of paper and write all the things you're feeling. I don't like this, and I hate this, and I don't like this guy. I don't like this. And just go on and on and on and on and on and express all the things you can because you need to get it out of you. Then you wad it up and burn it or tear it up. You know, you don't want anybody reading it. But when you express it in writing, it does release a lot of the tension and stress automatically. Of course, your ability of being able to cry. I know some wives that I've talked to in the last year that they've not allowed themselves to cry. Well, crying is a natural release. And a lot of men need to learn to cry, need to let their heart be touched and broken in areas that are affecting other people so we can cry. I've been becoming more and more sensitive about life. I can hardly read the story of Cinderella to my kids without getting choked up, you know. And that's what happens the more we become aware of the feelings of people and become in touch with our feelings. Then the last thing is whenever you're really down, it's very important to talk it out. That's where the husband comes in as the cherisher. When a wife is down or discouraged, we need to say, honey, just tell me about it. Tell me how you're feeling. It's important to let her talk. Or it's important, if he won't do it, to find a friend to talk. Just get it out. Express it. Because it really has an effect on your emotional level. Because if you allow yourself to continue thinking the negative thoughts and then to begin to just close yourself off, it just gets worse and worse. And that's exactly what we find. So, the area of learning in developing our husband-wife relationship in obedience to God's Word, Ephesians 5:29. Husbands, learn to nurture and cherish your mate. And when you cherish her as a person, she will feel like the woman, more like the woman that God created her to be. Now, next time we get together, we're going to be involved in the greatest concept that I know of that wives say strengthens the relationship more than any other factor of all the things I say. In fact, they say they choose this one over all the others. And also, I'm discovering that husbands need the same thing, just that it's expressed
We want it expressed differently, even though we need the same thing.